Well, good morning. For those of you who may be a guest today or don't know me, my name is Brian Kemling, and I'm one of the elders here at the Baptist Church. And as Scott mentioned earlier, we are currently without a paid pastor. Our search committee is working diligently on this, and they are making progress. So continue to pray for those in our search committee that are spending a lot of time searching for the right person that God has planned for us. But until that time comes, when the Lord brings us a new paid shepherd, the elders, we're going to continue to bring you sermons each Sunday morning. We are sure not professionals. I am probably the least skilled out of all of us. This is an opportunity for you to practice grace by showing grace to unskilled speakers here. But if you are a guest this morning, I'd like to extend a special welcome. Thank you for being here. We sure appreciate you joining us today. Now, the last several months, we've had a lot of sermons that have been spoken from this pulpit about the role of elders, about the role of church members, the importance of membership in a local body. These are topics we've been covering. The purpose of the church. This morning, what I would like to explore is this idea of servanthood, about serving others. So questions I'm going to throw out: how do we serve each other in this local body? What does that look like? How did Jesus display servanthood? Now, I know if we're being honest, some of you are sitting there thinking to yourselves, Brian, I already teach Sunday school. I lead a Bible study. I've already signed up to help with VBS. I simply cannot give any more. I am exhausted. I understand. All of us have busy lives. All of us have a lot of responsibilities. I've got a few of my own. I understand there's only so many hours in a day. So a couple of caveats before we get started. Number one, I am not here asking those of you who are already serving to do more. Okay? Number two, on the other side of the coin, I am also not here trying to guilt trip any of you who have been sitting on the sidelines lately. That's not the purpose of our talk this morning. But what I want to address today is, what does God's word say about serving? What is servanthood? What does God say about our responsibility to the kingdom? Is it okay to be a bystander when it comes to serving your brothers and sisters and the church body that you call home? As you can see, I'm really good at coming up with questions. So let's look in God's word for some answers. Turn with me to John chapter 13. Page 1069, if you're using one of the pew Bibles. We're going to read this example of how Jesus served those closest to him, how he served his apostles. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, we're going to read. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered Peter, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." At this point, In the time of Jesus here on earth, he had just about completed his journey to the cross. Judas had already sold him out, and they would soon take Jesus to be crucified. Judas met with the chief priests, and they had agreed on the 30 pieces of silver right after Jesus was anointed at Bethany, before this scene from the Last Supper. After this meal, after this Last Supper, Jesus prepares to wash the disciples' feet. You know the story. Peter objects that his Lord would wash his feet. Jesus quickly says, "Hey, Peter, you don't get it. If you don't let me, you will have no part of me." Peter goes from "you shall never wash my feet" to not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. I love Peter. He's just such a emotional guy. Whatever's on his mind, it's coming out. Jesus gave the apostles, the early leaders of the church, one more example of what he expects from those that claim the name of Christ. Jesus lets us know that if you are to live a life for the Lord, our natural selfish lifestyle must be replaced with the lifestyle of serving. A few verses later, starting back up in verse 12, we'll read the rest of the story here. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and returned to his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." The washing of the apostles' feet was done as an example for us. This was Christ's purpose behind doing this. The last line in this passage, verse 17, "Blessed are you if you do them." Now, knowledge is required, but when we choose to serve and perform the act of service, that's when the blessing occurs. Not just knowing what I should do, but doing it. Now, when I say the word servant, what do you think of? You think of a maid, maybe a butler, someone of lower standard than you. There are quite a few famous servants. You know, I kind of thought about this a little bit, a few that I came up with. If you're of my generation, maybe Mr. Belvedere. Do you remember that show, Mr. Belvedere? Jeffrey the butler from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You remember Jeffrey the butler? Maybe for the younger ones here, Alfred from Batman. If you're a Batman fan, he was a servant. When you think of servant, we typically think of someone that is under control of somebody else because that person holds their security, that person holds their paycheck in their hand. What we don't think of are movie stars, presidents, CEOs, because we've risen them above this class of being a servant. They are not servants, they have servants. But Jesus turned this whole idea of being a servant upside down. He showed that being a servant was not based on position, wealth, or popularity. It is a choice to be a servant. Can you imagine what the apostles were thinking as they watched the Son of God, the one who made the universe, put on a towel around his waist and started washing feet? This job typically done by the lowest ranked slave in the household. Now, in contrast to this incredibly humble act by Christ, a great example of man's natural desire to be number one is recorded for us in Mark chapter 10. Turn with me there. It's on page 1006 in the Pew Bible. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Just prior to the triumphal entry, before this scene at the Last Supper, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, asked Jesus to sit on the right and left of him in heaven. So Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you.' And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory.' Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?' And they said to him, 'We are able.' And Jesus said to them, 'The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those to whom it has been prepared.' And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, 'You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." James and John, they wanted to be exalted for all to see that they had found special favor with God. But Jesus told them in this passage, verse 43, "It shall not be among you." Our natural desire is to be exalted, to be recognized as someone great, to be highly esteemed by men. Being a disciple of Jesus moves us to the other side of that coin. Now, back in our primary passage in John 13, when Jesus bent down to wash the feet of the apostles, this should not have shocked them. Remember, before the triumphal entry, Jesus told them right here in Mark, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." I did a little bit of research on that word serve. In the Greek, I'm not even going to try to say it. I'll spell it for you. You guys can pronounce it how you like. D-I-A-K-O-N-E-S-A-I. Diakonesi. I have no idea. But there's several different forms of this word in the New Testament. The various forms of this word are used 37 times in the New Testament. And it's also translated not only serve, but to wait on, to minister to take care of, or to attend tables. Those are the other ways that that word is used. It's interesting that in all the uses of this word in the Bible, another person is required. To serve the way Jesus did requires other people. Now, it's natural for us to serve ourselves, but to serve biblically requires a receiver of our service. I found this little story about serving others that I thought I'd share. A man was driving his car when he saw an old lady stranded on the side of the road. He saw that she needed help. So he stopped his old Pontiac near her Mercedes and got out. He smiled while he was approaching her car, but she was still worried as nobody had stopped to help her for several hours. What's more, he did not look safe as his appearance was so poor and shabby. He could see how frightened this lady was, so he tried to calm her. "I'm here to help you, ma'am. Please don't worry. My name is Paul Anderson." The tire was flat, so he had to crawl under the car. While changing the tire, he got dirty, and his hands got hurt in the process of changing the tire. When the job was done, she asked him how much she owed him for his help. Paul smiled. He said, "No, if you really want to pay me back, the next time you see someone who needs help, just give that person the needed assistance and think about our encounter here." Later that same evening, that lady stopped by a small cafe. The place looked dingy, but she was starving. Then she saw a waitress, poorly dressed and nearly 8 months pregnant, coming over to take her order. The waitress had a sweet, friendly smile, although she had spent the whole day on her feet and was exhausted. The lady wondered how someone who has so little can be so kind and giving to a stranger. And then she remembered Paul. The lady had finished her meal and paid with a $100 bill. The waitress went to get change, and when she came back, the lady was gone. She left a note on the napkin. The note said, "You don't owe me anything. Somebody once helped me, just like now I am helping you." The waitress found four more $100 bills under the napkin. That night, the waitress came home from work earlier than normal. She was thinking about the lady and the money that she had left. She was wondering, how did the lady know that her and her husband needed it so desperately, especially now with the baby that would soon arrive? She knew that her husband worried about their financial situation, so she was glad to tell him this great news. Then she kissed him and whispered, "Now everything will be all right. I love you, Paul Anderson." Now, I'm not here telling you that if you serve, money's going to come pouring into your life. That is false. That is not biblical at all. Okay? But I do promise you that if you make the choice to serve others, you will be blessed, because that's what God's word says. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." This verse in 2 Corinthians is in a paragraph commanding us to be a cheerful giver, to not be a reluctant giver, to have an attitude of always having our hand open, ready to give. When we choose to serve others, we are the one who is blessed. Very similar verse found in Proverbs 11:25. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. Again, when we choose to serve others, we are the one who is blessed. So let's apply this a little bit. How do you put this idea of servanthood into actions? I've got a few ideas here I'll throw out to you. So first question is, how do we serve others? So 2 points on that. How do we serve others? Number one, we must be humble like Jesus. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. If we're going to serve others, how do we serve them? We must be humble. If the King of Kings and Lord of Lords can wash the dirty feet of his apostles and later go to the cross, surely I can find 15 minutes in my day to serve someone else. This world is focused on taking. Jesus says that if we want to be, that we have to be focused on giving, on serving. We must be humble if we're going to serve. Another answer to that question, how do we serve others? Not only be humble. Point number two, we have to take an interest in others' lives, just like Jesus did. We must value others. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. We are to use the talents and abilities that God has given us for the furtherment of his kingdom and the betterment of others. Ephesians 4:28 says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. We need to be in relationship with others to know their needs. If we don't know, how will we serve them? Another point, we have to be real with others and share our own needs. Now, I'm like most of you here. It's easier to serve others rather than letting people serve you. But allowing others to minister to your needs will be a blessing to the one serving. So let them serve you. And just a side note, I don't have any lunch plans today, so, you know, opportunity. Just kidding. So how do we serve others? We be humble. We take an interest in their lives. Question number two, why should we serve others? Well, the only point that matters is we are commanded to. Galatians 5:13 says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. This is a command, not a suggestion. If we don't serve one another, we are sinning. If we have been redeemed by the Lord, we will have a desire to serve. God did not redeem us to focus on our own needs and desires. God redeems us for the purpose of furthering his kingdom by serving others. Servanthood is a lifestyle. It's a decision of faith that you care enough about what is going on in your brother or sister's life to make a difference. So how we serve, be humble, take an interest in others. Why we serve, because we are commanded. How about where can we serve? I have some ideas, some thoughts there. Number one, at home. Husbands, when's the last time you did a household chore without your spouse asking you? I asked myself that question. I had to think a little bit. Or kids, how about you? When's the last time you did a household chore without your parents asking you? So we can serve others at home. We can serve others in the schools, whether that's public school or homeschool setting, doesn't matter. How could you make a teacher's job easier? Are you gifted in a certain subject? Could you serve as a tutor to students? Could you volunteer to help in any capacity? There's lots of opportunities there. How about your neighborhood? Do you have a neighbor who struggles to mow their lawn? Can you grab groceries for someone who struggles to get out? Could you become a foster family to serve children? There's many opportunities within our neighborhoods to serve others. And you knew I was going to get to this. How about here at church? Are you involved in a ministry team? Are you serving this local body in some capacity? If you don't know where to get involved, please ask. And if you're currently just an audience member here, you come on Sunday mornings, but that's the extent of your involvement, some questions I'd challenge you to ask yourself. Number one is the Holy Spirit prodding you to get involved? Another question, if you are not serving your brothers and sisters here in our local church body, what does that say about the condition of your heart? And third question, what's holding you back? Why are you not serving? Three warnings about not serving. Number one, if you think you have to wait until you have everything you need before you'll help someone else, you will probably never serve. Number two, if you think you have to wait until you have more time, when I retire, I'll have plenty of time, I'll serve then, you're probably never going to serve. Third warning, if you think you have to wait for someone to ask you to serve, you will probably never serve. There are ample opportunities for all of us to serve each other within this body and outside of this body as well. Now, as this message comes to an end, picture Jesus kneeling down and washing the dirty feet of the apostles. If Jesus Christ, your Savior, the Son of God, can wash feet, then so should you and I. If Jesus Christ, the one you call Master, served others, then so must you and I. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. How about you and I? Are we here to be served or to serve others? I pray that we all seek God's will and surrender to his leading in this area of servanthood.